Tonight, this morning, I'm continuing our series on Jesus, our great I Am, part three. And before I open up today's message, let me share something I thought was funny. And someone sent to me, my goal for 2017 was to lose just 10 pounds, only 15 to go. Ate a salad for dinner, mostly croutons and tomatoes. Really, just one big round crouton covered with tomato sauce and cheese. Fine, it was a pizza. I ate a pizza. How to prepare tofu? A, throw it in the trash. B, grill some meat. I did a week's worth of cardio after walking into a spider's web. I don't mean to brag, but I just finished my 14-day diet in 3 hours and 20 minutes. A recent study found out that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it. Here's one all the baby boomers can relate to. Kids today don't know how easy they have it. When I was young, I had to walk 9 feet through shag carpet to change the TV station. Jesus, the great I Am, Jesus, our great I Am. In John chapter 14, Jesus said about himself, introducing us to a further revelation of who the I Am is, when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, Jesus, take away the fear, anxiety, the stress. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Thomas kind of gets a bad rap. This was a logical answer to a mystical revelation. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Lord, thank you, Jesus, our great I Am. We thank you for revealing yourself to mankind, for coming for us, for so loving the world. You rescued us on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that in these moments you would anoint us, that your Holy Spirit would capture us into a prophetic moment. Speak to our hearts, anoint your servant, your word, and your people. And change us to be like Jesus. Change us and heal us and help us. Show the devil who's boss. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus says, I'll be talking more about this next week, but heaven and hell are real. And God did not create hell for man. It was created for Satan and fallen angels. And Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, and daddy's house is so big. In the Greek, it carries the idea of a mansion being a attached luxury apartment to a large mansion. So we're all living in, so don't picture heaven as you living miles away from each other. We're all living together in the heart of God. A connectedness is there waiting for us. But as Jesus speaks about this glorious truth, he had adopted the great Hebrew name of God, Yahweh. So Moses is walking through the desert. A bush is burning without being consumed. He turns aside to look at it. The voice comes, you know, Moses, take off your shoes and come here. And God said to Moses, tell Israel the I Am has sent you. And the I Am. And so That phrase, the I will be what I will be, the eternally existent, the God who is self-sufficient, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, that's who Moses meant that day. And so that name, Yahweh, came out of that, and it became the foundation of the Hebrew faith and of knowing the name of God. And so it was so important. So here's Jesus, and he said, I am the I am. That was me then. And then he expands the definition about who he is. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. Today, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to talk about those three things just for a few moments. The first thing Christ said was, I am the way. The early church was not called Christians. It was called the way. Of course, that was taken specifically from what Christ said. I am the way. And when you have found Jesus, you have found the way. There are many freeways, highways, byways, many paths, many roads, but only one of them goes to heaven. Only one of them goes to God. And that's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. The only way to salvation is through Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, Peter's preaching, and he said, there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. There's great names in the earth. There are great religions in the earth, but no one gets to heaven in the name of a Hindu god, of Buddha, of Muhammad, or any other name. The only name that brings salvation is the name of Jesus. And that is the controversy of Christianity, because we say there's only one way to God. They say, what about these other ways? None of those ways, though they be good and thoughtful and religious and filled with good works, none of them can reach high enough to God. Only Jesus bridges the great gap between God and man. And Jesus is the way to salvation. Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation, to every single person that believes. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Every demon in hell couldn't stop you from getting saved. Every lie and deception and philosophy of man couldn't keep God away from you. He revealed his son to you. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the only way for forgiveness of sins. There is no way of unburdening our souls from the great weight of sins without Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 says it like this: in him, Jesus, we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. I've got good news for you. All your sin has been forgiven 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ. God put your sin on his son so you could have a relationship with him, so you could know what it is to have friendship with God, so you could become what you were meant to be, a child of God, a friend of God. Jesus is the only way for freedom. There's no other pathway for the freedom God has for your life except Jesus. And here's what Jesus said: if the Son shall make you free, baby, you're free indeed. There's no freedom like the freedom Jesus brings to you. There's no bondage, oppression on this planet that Jesus Christ cannot liberate your life from. Jesus has the power to set every person free. Our job is to love people where they're hurting, but never leave them there. We don't love people in tremendous pain, in the deception of some kind of sexual perversion, and say, well, God loves you. He does love them, but we can't leave people there. In Christ's name, they can come into freedom. And there's nothing in this world that God can't set you free from. Jesus is the only way for peace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that Christ has broken down the wall. He is our peace. Say with me, Jesus is my peace. Jesus is our peace. He has broken down the wall that kept you from God, from you, from the covenant God had for you. Jesus is our peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, what does that mean? God's not at war with you. If we don't get this right, I have some friends that are evangelists and evangelistic thinking and come from a dispensational theological background, and they're all the time trying to scare people into heaven. You with me? Well, that's the most inferior way of delivering the gospel. Because the truth is, God's not at war with mankind. God made peace with us on the cross where his son died for us. And that means I can have peace with God. And because I have peace with God, I can have the peace of God. Here's what Jesus said also about his peace in John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace, heavenly peace, perfect peace, I give to you. Not like the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So fear and pressure and stress and anxiety and depression and discouragement, all of the enemies of God, all of the negative consequences of a fallen world, all of those things will come on your life. And so peace is not when you finally, you know, somehow get a stress-free season and all your battles are won. Peace is your weapon to rest. And Jesus said, I'll give you peace. Jesus is sleeping. They're in a storm. The disciples are screaming. Jesus is peacing, sleeping because your peace allows you to sleep in storms. And any storm you can sleep in, like my friend Bill Johnson says, you have authority over. And God wants you to know his peace is powerful enough to allow you to have rest no matter what's trying to happen in your world. The devil's a liar. Peace is your portion. Peace is the normal setting in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only way to joy. Jesus said in John chapter 15, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We were singing earlier this morning about the river. And so, you know, if you're new to this and to our expression of faith, you're thinking, well, where's the river? You know, I saw some people, the pastor jumping up down there, some people jumping, but it must be down at the altar. No, the river's not there. The river's here. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your spirit, would flow rivers of living waters. So joy's in you. You got it when you got Jesus. And what worship does, it allows us to release our joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why do we rejoice? Because the joy we had, we got to reboot it. Renew it. Reclaim it. Rediscover it. Re-experience it. Oh, joy, joy, joy. Rejoice in God always. Jesus is the only way to real love. So don't waste your whole life trying to find the love that only Jesus can give you. I praise God, you know, for the love Mary and I. Mary is the great love of my life. 38 years we've been married. And I, you know, I am always in love with her. But no one will ever love me like Jesus. And no one will ever love you like Jesus. And don't ask your spouse to become your Jesus. Don't do it. Don't ask your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. I'm just wanting someone to love me. Hello? It's already done. Jesus is the proof that God loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten son, John 3:16, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the proof of God's love for you. Oh, Pastor, I'm going in a tough time. I'm not sure that God loves me. Put your eyes back on Jesus. My little prophetic song today, I don't need another reason than the cross. I don't need everything to go good. I was 22 years old. We were married, just had a baby. I had a perfect day. Not one thing went wrong. 1980. What happens? I said, life, more babies, more problems, more issues, more things. Ba-bam, ba-boom, ba-bam, ba-beep-bam. Stuff happened. If I wait my whole life for things to make me happy, I've wasted a lifetime of happiness that I gave people and circumstances the power of my joy instead of Jesus. Thank you, Tyler. Jesus, thank you for your love, your joy. Jesus is the only way to destiny. Acts 17, Paul's preaching, he said, for in Jesus we live and move and have our being. Ah, boom. Your life has meaning that only God can give you. The moment you came to Christ, he tapped you into a purposeful revelation of the plan of God for your life. What, Pastor, what's the plan of God for my life? Bring Jesus with you every place you go. Your job, well, Pastor, I'm praying for a better job. I'm praying with you. But while you're at this inferior job, just bring Jesus every day to work with you and change the place because you're bringing Jesus. Bring Jesus into your family. Yes, love and raise kids and go through. I pray you have the happiness that Mary and I have known. Man, it's wonderful. But without Jesus, we wouldn't have made it. Jesus is the purpose of our life. To bring his love, to bring his kingdom, to bring his salvation, to allow him to change us, to become like him. Everything in our life revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. I have a purpose. What's your purpose, Pastor Mike? To be like Jesus and bring Jesus every place. That's pretty cool. Jesus is the only way to satisfaction. Jesus is talking with the woman at the well. And he says, I got water for you that if you have one sip of it, your thirst goes away forever. The woman's like, no way. Well, what kind of water is that? Is that the new kind of intelligent water? Does it have sodium in it? Is it infused with vitamins? What's going on? Jesus said, you don't understand. It's heaven's water. Jesus Christ satisfies the thirsty soul. And without Christ, people always reach for the wrong drink. Sex and drugs or success or relationships or this or that or entertainment. They fall. It's just anything they're trying to satisfy. But nothing in this world can satisfy like Jesus Christ. You were made to be satisfied. Jesus is the way you become satisfied. Don't, listen, if you're single, don't be a miserable single person. Don't say, well, someday when I'm married, I'm going to be happy. All the married people go, really? Good luck with that. Be satisfied. Jesus plus nothing brings satisfaction to life. Oh, see, if you lost everything, you still have the main thing. Okay, Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Jesus is the only way for eternal life. So the moment you accepted Christ, he said this in John chapter 10. He said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them from my hand. The moment you received Christ, you received eternal life. And when your natural life ends, your eternal life does not. Paul said, I closed my eyes in this temporal world and I awoke in paradise. I saw indescribable beauties and glories that could not be pulled down into the intelligent delivery of my vocabulary. I saw things beyond comprehension in that world. Eternal life. I'm going to live forever. Come on. I grew up in the faith movement and they were all going to live forever. We're going to live to be 120. That's easy to say in your 40s. I'm going to live just like Abraham. I'm going to live to be 120. They all died in their 70s and 80s. I'm not belittling those great men and leaders. I'm just saying the point is not, you know, trying to extend your natural life for 500 years. The point is your eternal life never ends. I'm going to live forever. Forever. That's why at funerals for believers, we're sad. We miss them. But they're not weeping in heaven missing us. They're racing down streets and going, oh, woo! Got their 25-year-old body back. Running with Jesus. Come on. Nobody that goes there ever asked to come back. Jesus is the only way to miracles, signs, and wonders. Ah, miracles. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Mark 16. They will slap their sweaty hands on the sick and they shall recover. Listen, miracles aren't about you. They're about Jesus. Jesus just said, please give me the chance to do something for them. If you use my name, it'll be like I'm standing there in person. The disease you're praying for cannot distinguish between you being there or me being there when you use my name. Jesus is the truth. I got to go faster here. Jesus is the truth about who God is. So all through the book of John, it's a great study. Jesus said continuously, if you've seen me, you've seen him. He said, here's what Jesus said. I say nothing except what I heard him say. I do nothing except what I saw him show me to do. So Jesus perfectly represented the heart and person of God the Father. If you want to know who the Father is, look at the Son. Jesus showed us God. That's how we know and have familiarity with God. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says God at various times and various ways spoke to us in times past to our fathers by the prophets, prophets, priests, judges, deliverers, and angels, kind of a dispensation of angels in the Old Testament. He said, in these last days has spoken to us by his Son Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word express image is the word Greek word character. It means an exact copy. So Jesus shows us the Father. And well, Pastor, I want to know what God's like. He's like Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. Okay, so second point, Jesus is the truth about who we are. So the moment you come to Christ, you enter into a re-education camp. And this re-education camp is called the church. And in the church, the primary function of the church, yes, we disciple, we teach, we bring community, but the primary purpose of the church is to awaken your kingdom identity. Here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I was lost, but I'm found in Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but that righteousness, which is through faith in Christ. So Paul said, I finally found who I really am. I'm not saved because I'm a good person. I'm saved because I serve a good God. I'm not going to heaven because I deserve it. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins. And so we understand who we are. And so your earthly journey is in the kingdom, is the awakening of your identity. There's two things. The most important thing in life is what you believe about God. That's a common truism in the kingdom of God, especially in the church. But the second thing that I add to that is this. The second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. Because if you believe right about God and believe wrong about you, the wrong things you believe about you stop God from doing the right things he wants to do in your life. We were grasshoppers in our own eyes. No, you're the children of God. You're the sons and daughters of the King. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any person be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God wants you to discover the new you. And so that's why the Bible's written. The New Testament is the revelation of who you are as God's children. You are the sons and daughters of the King. And that's our journey to understand that, to discover it, to experience it, to really unfold the fullness of it. In Romans chapter 18, the Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of fear or terror or bondage or slavery that causes fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Daddy, God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Pastor, why is that important? Because you can't have your inheritance until you discover your identity. And your identity is, I'm a child of God. Now, if this hasn't happened in my story, but it could happen in your story. If you ever had a rich relative, and you're there, your parents are rich, and this is going to be a fairy tale for most of us. So you're there, parents are rich, and you hear the will, I bestow all my goods to my son, to my daughter, and you're thinking, well, that makes sense. You're not shocked. Whoa, I'm so shocked. No, if your father, mother loved you, there would be a natural delivery of any kind of blessing they can to you. So that's the natural consequence of identity. People that don't know who they are never find out what they have from God. But when you know you're a son of God, a daughter of God, and you read the Bible, yeah, that's me, it's mine, I'm taking that, this, yeah, yes and amen. Me likey, take some morey. Ooh, this is good stuff. But people that don't know who they are, they're like, oh, well, more than a conqueror. That must be nice. That's for Pastor Maiden, Iverna, those people up there. The rest of us, you know, we're just conquered. We're not more than conquerors. We're more than conquered. No. You have to break. Jesus breaks through. Okay, that's what's happening. I got to close. This is my last point. Jesus is the life. Now, stay with me 5 minutes and I'll be done. So Jesus is the life. Everybody say life. So when he used this analogy, this was also the imprint, a narrative that Hebrew rabbinic teachers used to describe the Mosaic Temple. So it was called the outside court, the court of the Gentiles, which had the laver and the brazen altar, was called the way. The inside court, called the Holy of Holies, that was covered by a tent and had a golden candlestick and the altar of incense and the table of showbread, was called the truth. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and this beautiful presence of God filled with a pot of manna, Aaron's bud that run it, that blossomed, and the Ten Commandments. That was the Holy of Holies. Only one time a year the high priest could go there to offer for the sins of Israel. So Jesus says, I'm the way to get to the Holy of Holies.